You know, when God blesses, we need to give Him the praise, because we can't do things on our own. Chris and I actually had a blessing tonight. We're going out to New York City here in a couple weeks for a wedding, and we're going to drive out there, which would have been a long drive, 20 hours there, and stay for the wedding and drive straight back, and that would have been about 40 hours of worth of driving for me and Chris, so we've been kind of praying about and looking at some different options and possibly flying out there. And we were looking last night, and the prices were just, they're just out there for plane fares. So we got done looking at it. I just said a little prayer to myself: God, this is in Your hands. Just would You bless and take care of this need. And the amazing thing about it, I didn't think about it all day, and I got a phone call today from Chris through her. Someone is paying for our plane tickets, and that was just amazing to me that someone even would want to do something like that. And through the power of God, really, that's how it all happened. And I praise God for that. So I don't have to drive 40 hours, Sean. I'm looking forward to that. I'd rather fly 4 hours than drive 40. So, but it's amazing what God does in these situations, because I was asked to preach in Twin City the night that we were leaving, and I couldn't do it just because of the travel time. And he told the other guy he's going to have to step up and do it, and he's kind of busy, didn't really want to. And not that he didn't want to, he's just getting back into town. And Josh goes, well, if we can just pray that somehow, some way, Chad can be here. And it's just amazing how my prayer and his prayer just kind of went together and God answered. And that's just amazing. So never underestimate the power of prayer. And the reason why there's power in prayer is because of God. So it's just a great blessing. So give God all the praise and glory where it's all due. Well, if you would tonight, turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The thing that I've been doing here recently with the young people on Wednesday nights is that we've been going through the life of Joseph and his brother. So you guys are going to be kind of behind on it with us from where we're at, which is fine. But with Master's Club coming to a close, I just couldn't stop doing this for these young people, because we're just about finished with looking at this, the life of Joseph. And I didn't really want them to hang on to it all summer long and forget everything. And so we're going to go right back into it, the book of Genesis chapter 42. And just to kind of give you a brief history here, Joseph has gone through some trials in his life. He's gone through some pretty big circumstances in his life. And the main thing about what I get out of Joseph is that he overcame those obstacles. He overcame those circumstances that was in his life because he had God on his side. And that's amazing about this story. And I really look up to this gentleman here who really looked to God. You go back a couple chapters, I believe it's in chapter 39, even with the things that Joseph was going through, God still found favor in him. And the thing that always sticks out to me, can God find favor in us through our life, through our lifestyle, through our way of living? And Joseph here is just an amazing person. We see that he was basically attacked by his servants, his master's wife falsely accused him and of some fornication, which didn't take place. And because of this, he was thrown into prison. He overcame this obstacle in his life. Never once did you see or hear of Joseph getting bitter. Never once. You don't read about it. You don't hear about it. And Joseph, I believe, remained true to God. We see here recently that the circumstances that were going on, he now is in the house of Pharaoh. Actually, he is second in charge. He is the governor of the land. And everything goes through him, then it goes through Pharaoh, then it goes through him. So Joseph has really come a long way in his life. And now we go to chapter 42. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us. Lord, we ask that You would just work tonight in our services. Lord, I pray for these young people that are up here tonight. Lord, I see and hear of some things that are going on right now. Lord, I just pray that You would just remove all distractions. Lord, that their focus would be upon You tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just work and speak to our hearts. Challenge us through Your Word. Lord, we just ask that as we leave here from your house, Lord, that we would be better servants for You, ready to do Your work. And we ask You these things in Your name. Amen. So now we come to chapter 42, and we see that there's famine in the land. They had a great 7 years of crop, very plenteous. You go back into the previous chapter. There's so much corn there. If I can find the verse real quick, my eyes are kind of squinting. In verse number 49 of 41, it says, "And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea." So there, you see, there's a lot of food. It says very much until he left numbering, for is without number. That's how much corn there was. It was very plenteous. So now we go down to chapter 42, verse number 1. It says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto the sons, why do you look one upon another?" Say, hey, there's corn in Egypt. Why are you guys standing around here looking dumb at each other? Let's go get some corn. And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from this, that we may live and not die." So we see that there is a great famine in this land. The whole country is basically starving. And the only way that they could survive for food was they had to go to the land of Egypt, and they had to buy corn from Pharaoh. And we see here that Jacob is put in charge here. So it says, "Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brother went down to buy corn in Egypt. Now we see why only 10 went. It says, "But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him." Now, Jacob's looking back at the loss of his son. Now, Jacob thinks already that Joseph is dead. He has no idea at this point in time that Joseph is alive and as well. He has no idea the lifestyle that Joseph is living. He has no idea what type of authority figure that Joseph is. And he's thinking he's dead still to this day. And he didn't want his younger son Benjamin to go down there because he's already lost his son. And these two boys that he had through Rachel, which is from his wife that he loved so dearly and so deeply, he couldn't even think or bear the thought of losing another son. You know, I have one daughter. I can't imagine losing one daughter, my daughter. Now, she's in Sioux City this week, and it kills me that I don't have her around, because the joy that children bring to you, the fun that you have with them, the fellowship that you can have with them. And so Jacob here is kind of skeptical, and he doesn't want Benjamin to go. And verse number 5 says, "And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan." Now we see here the place of authority that Joseph is in. It says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth." Now, Joseph is no dummy. Now, he knew that there is famine throughout all the land. And he knew eventually, someday, one day, because the famine was spreading across the country, that eventually it would reach to his brothers. It would reach to his father's household. And he knew through this that the only way for them to survive was for them to come to Egypt and to buy corn from him. Now, Joseph is anticipating his brothers coming. He's looking for them every single day. He's waiting for them to walk down that road so he can see his brothers. And we'll see here what happens when this comes about. But he's looking for this time. He's looking for the opportunity. It's just like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son went out on the way, the father's waiting every single day for his son to come home. Now, it's different here where Joseph is waiting for his brothers to come here so he can see him. So he's the governor over all the land, and he sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now, Joseph is in a pretty good position here. Now, he's governor of the land. Now, I can only imagine going through this. I begin to think of my own brothers and the mischief that they did to me when I was a young kid, and the things that transpired throughout the years. I told someone the other day one of the tricks that my brothers played on me, and I got to thinking about it, and it made me mad again. Did you ever do that, Sean? Go back into the past? And I was actually telling Alita this. She goes, "No way. They wouldn't do that to you." I was like, "Yeah, go ask Jeff. He'd do anything." But Joseph here, he's in a place. And when they got there, they had no idea who Joseph was. Now remember, he has been away approximately 20 to 21 years at this point in time. So they don't recognize Joseph. Joseph is dressed like an Egyptian. He talks like them. He looks like them, so they have no idea who he is. And so they come down here and they bow down before him. Now, he's in a place of authority. Now, you younger guys that have brothers or have sisters, how awesome would that be for your brothers to come down and kneel before you? You know, that would be kind of cool. So Joseph is looking forward to this opportunity to see his brothers. And here they are. They come and they bow down their faces towards the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren. And he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not. So they had no idea who he was. Now we see here that Joseph, in my opinion, is going to have some fun with this. All right, guys, I've had 20 to 21 years of this. You have no idea who I am. I'm going to mess with your minds here a little bit. I'm going to play around with you. And so we see that they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, "Ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come." They said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." So we see here that Joseph speaks sternly with them, not because that he is angry, but because he is testing them. Why is he testing them? Because he sees that there's only 10 brothers here. Where's brother number 12 at? Benjamin. So he's testing him here. He's looking. He's trying to prod information out without them getting to know who he is. And he's going about this in a very tactful way. He's going about it in a good way. And we see here how good he is. You know, sometimes after reading this, it makes me wonder if Joseph had a future job in the CIA with going about these tactics, trying to get people to talk without knowing who he was. And that ye are spies, it says in verse number 9, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. And they said, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." They're saying, "No, we're not spies, but we're here to come to buy food. See, we're hungry. Well, there's a famine in the land, and this is the only place that we can come. We're not spies. We're not coming here to spy you out and to try to take you over." And verse number 11 says, "Why are all one man's sons? We are true men. Thy servants are no spies." So here they are trying to convince Joseph that they're not spies. But all along, Joseph knows who they are. And I can just hear Joseph probably in his mind just laughing about this. But he's doing this because he's trying to get some information out. Hey, is Benjamin still alive? Is my father still alive? Are they doing well? What are they up to these days? And that's the information that he's trying to get out of these 10 brothers of his. And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." Verse number 13, it says, "And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said unto him, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither." See, he wanted to see Benjamin. He wanted to see Benjamin. So he's doing these tactics in a very unique way here. So we see here he's accusing him of being spies, just to find out who the rest of his family is. And it's been 20 to 21 years since he has seen Benjamin. It's been that long since he's seen his father. I can just imagine the nights that he spent laying awake wondering how his youngest brother was doing. What was he doing today? I can just imagine the thoughts that was going through his mind. Is my father dead? Did I miss his funeral or anything of that nature? I can just imagine what Joseph lived here. And he's wanting to see if they're still well and how they're doing. But we see here in verse number 17, it says, "And he put them all together into ward 3 days." So what he did here, he basically put them in jail. He put him in jail for a few days. Now, how many of us would love the fact to put a few of our relatives in jail? It'd be fun, wouldn't it? Especially our sisters. You know. But anyway, this is what they did. He put him in ward 3 days. "And Joseph said to them, 'The third day this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die.' And they did so. And they said one to another, 'We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this stress come upon us.'" So we see here in verse number 21, they begin to think about what they did to Joseph 20 years ago, if God was finally coming around and they were going to be punished for it. And so they were thinking that God was going to chastise them. They're thinking that something was going to happen. God's going to punish them. And they were scared. And I would be too if I was in their shoes. Being in a strange land, being under a Pharaoh who's accusing you of being a spy and then throwing you into prison. I can just imagine what's going through their mind and how they would react to this situation. So we see here that what they did back then, it was coming back and it was beginning to haunt them just a little bit. And it says in verse number 22, it says, "And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against a child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood him, for he spake unto them by an interpreter." So this whole entire time, Joseph wasn't speaking their language. And this really threw them off because they had no idea who he was. So he was speaking through them through an interpreter. He was speaking Egyptian. And so they had no idea what he was saying or what he was doing at this point in time. So he spake through an interpreter. "And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again." This was beginning to come upon Joseph. He was having a hard time coming to grips with everything and with everything looking back, reflecting back throughout the years and what's taking place right now. Joseph, basically, he broke down and he cried. And had some tears here. And immediately it says, "And he returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brother, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us?" So now they're getting out of the land of Egypt. They're going to be going back to the home, bringing the food back to their father, to their family, their wives, their kids. Everybody that's back in where they're at, and now they had to pay for the food. Well, lo and behold, when they get ready to go, what happens? They didn't have to pay for the food at all. Joseph, not only did he give it to them free, he gave their money back to them. He didn't hoard it to himself. He gave it back to them. And so now this is beginning to go across their minds. Man, we're just thrown in jail here. They got Simon. He's got Simon, our brother, until we return again. And man, now we got money in here. What's next? Is he going to accuse us of stealing from them? And so they were scared, beginning to question some things that were going on here. Verse number 29 says, "And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country." You know, I can remember when I was a young boy growing up, every time that I was faced with a difficult time in my life, with someone who spoke roughly to me, or friends who took advantage of me in certain situations, and we all had that. And I can remember going to my dad, I can remember going to my mother, and crying on their shoulder. And I can always remember my dad, "Suck it up." Mom, she was a little bit more compassionate. Thank God for mothers. We can always have a shoulder to cry on. But dad was like, "Hey, suck it up. This is going to build you some character here. And, you know, don't whine on my shoulder. Just because someone speaks roughly to you, you know, have some backbone. Suck it up. Be a man here." And that's what I'm kind of getting at here with these men. Dad, they spake roughly to us and took us for spies in the country. And we said in him, "We are true men, we are not spies." He accused us, Dad, of spying out their land, but we had to tell him who we were. "We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, 'Hereby shall I know thee are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine in your households, and be gone.'" Joseph did this for a reason. I believe that he knew how his dad felt about Benjamin. How the thoughts probably went through his mind of losing his son Joseph, and now he has Benjamin, and there's a reason why he kept him home. And I believe that Joseph knew why. But I believe Joseph used his discretion here, his judgment here, by keeping Simon so that when they were to come back, they would bring their younger brother with him. And verse number 34 says, "And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies." So he's saying to him, hey, you're going to have to prove to me that you're not spies. Bring me your youngest brother. And so they went back and told his father this. "But that ye are true men, so will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, 'Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me.' And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, 'Slay my two sons. If I bring not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again.'" Now, Reuben's going back to the time where they were getting ready to kill Joseph because the brothers plotted against him. They wanted to kill him. And as I explained to the kids a couple weeks ago, that Reuben here, I believe that Joseph had a good relationship with him, because Reuben talked to his brother, "Hey, this is our brother. Let's not do this thing." And so Reuben's bringing this back up here and says, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, 'My son shalt not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave.'" Where's Jacob's faith at this point in time in his life? Did he forget who his God is? Where is his faith at? You know, Joseph has had some pretty bad circumstances happen throughout his lifetime. But one thing that really gets me with Joseph is that he rose above them. How did he rise above them? Because he sought God. What's this saying to us? This is saying to us, hey, no matter what you go through, look to God. Look to God. Because He is the one who is going to give you the strength. He is the one who is going to give you the ability to rise above those circumstances and make you a better person for it. Now, would Joseph have been a better person if he was to kick himself while he was down and to have a disgruntled attitude throughout this whole ordeal? No, I believe he wouldn't have been as successful as he was going through this. But God gave him the grace. God gave him the peace. And the thing that I learned from all this with Joseph is here, despite the circumstances, look to God. Look to God. yeah, I understand that the road seems dark and dim at times, and we don't understand the things that go on from time to time. But, you know, it's not up to us to understand. It's up to us to look to God. And look to Him and get the answers from God. Seek His face daily. I believe Joseph was doing this. I believe Joseph sought God daily. I believe Joseph talked to God daily. And I believe he had a beautiful relationship with Him. Otherwise, I wouldn't see any of these things happen if he didn't. So he looked to God through his ordeals, and he rose above them. And if you can take anything away from this tonight, rise above the circumstances that you are in. It builds character. It makes you who you are today. You know, we all have to go through some fires. We all have to go through some trials. And it's merely a test. And it's a test from God. How are we going to act? How are we going to react to these situations? Are we going to make ourselves better for it? Or are we going to go about and not learn anything from it and allow ourselves to be defeated? Now, Joseph could have allowed himself to be defeated through this. But Joseph, I believe, wasn't a quitter. Joseph was a man who wanted to win. He wasn't a man who wanted to be defeated. And he was able to go through these things because of God. So I urge you tonight, as we begin to close down, look to God through your circumstances here. Remember who your God is. He is the God who spoke this world into existence. He is the God who saved you from hell and saved you to heaven. Never forget who He is. He is the God who died on a cross and 3 days later rose up again. Now, if He can do those things, couldn't He get you through your things in life? Amen? I believe He can. So we need to look to God through our struggles here. And we'll see here next week some more things that God is going to do in the life of Joseph. And I'm looking forward to that time here. But real quick, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll divide up real quick for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us, Lord. Thank You for this example of this young man that You have given us tonight to learn from, Lord. I pray that You would continue to work in the time that we have together. Lord, I just pray that You would just be with the pastor and Mrs. Springer, Lord, that You would give them the strength and the rest as they're away. Lord, that You would just work in a mighty way. We ask You these things in Your name. Amen.